death knell of the enemy. Scripture says, "Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short." The enemy is working feverishly hard against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must be ready. Whether or not we'll be successful in fighting the fight of faith, despite the fact that the war has already been done, is whether or not we make the decision to each and every day, because we cannot pick and choose our battles. Each and every day, put on the full armor of God. Let's read our text this morning from Ephesians 6, beginning with verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Let's bow our hearts together. Let's ask God's blessing to be with us this morning as we look to God's Word together. Father, we praise and thank you and glorify your name for your goodness and grace. And we are just awed by the presence of God in your house this morning, the presence of God that's in our hearts and lives. Now, dear God, as we look to your Word, we pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to minister to us, to our hearts and minds, and that you would increase, Lord, your knowledge, your wisdom, your grace and strength that comes in your Word. We ask for your anointing to be upon both this speaker and every hearer who's in this place today. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Amen. When it talks about the kingdom of God, and when we think of warfare, and war is a terrible thing, but the beautiful thing about the war that we are waging as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is that the only blood that is spilt in this war was the blood spilt on Calvary. Your blood will never be spilt. God will preserve you through this war. You have God's guarantee. You have his word on it, not mine. And so it's a, in some respects, a bloodless war, but it's a feverish war. And when we think about fighting for the kingdom of God, especially when we think of it in context with the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, we think about expanding the kingdom for at least four, and probably much more, at least four different times before Jesus Christ went to the cross, rose again, and then ascended to the right hand of the Father. Jesus commissioned his disciples to win others to the faith. He told his disciples in Mark's gospel to preach the gospel to every living creature. He said in Matthew's gospel to make disciples of all men. He said in John's gospel, "As the Father sent me, so send I you." He said in Luke's gospel, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." And that is our responsibility as well. But and I don't want to take away from that. That is definitely one important dynamic of our calling as both individuals and as a church. But Paul has a little bit different perspective when it comes to spiritual warfare or fighting the enemy. And he's calling us not to expand the kingdom, but to stand for the kingdom. Verse 13, once again, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. There's a reason why he says this. And the reason is this. The enemy, who is Satan, or the devil, whatever you want to call him, evil, evil, evil being, whose heart is set against God and God's people, is not only content to keep people in darkness, people that God has called us to share Jesus with so that he might liberate, but he also wants to take from you all the wonderful things that God has given you when you first accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. In fact, not only does he want to take away from you the things you have personally in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, he also wants to plunder and pillage. I created a new word in the English dictionary. Plunder and pillage the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of those times, and it may be the time when you first accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, maybe another time where you just had an awesome, tremendous experience with God. Maybe you were filled with the Holy Spirit, or just God met you at an altar. And those are wonderful, pure times where God just, and we can name it revival, where God just puts so much of his kingdom within us. And what I mean by that, he sets us free because we're saved, we're born again from guilt and shame, because we've been forgiven of every sin, and all the junk from the past is all washed under the blood, and all the stain that goes in it, God has washed clean from our souls. Because now that we know greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, we have great boldness. We just want to get up and live for Jesus and tell other people about Jesus and be bold about our faith. We trust God. We know that there may be mountains, but we're not afraid of those mountains because we know our God can do everything. We have great faith that can literally move mountains. And on we can talk about, you know, just those times when we're extremely close with God, all the wonderful things that come with God's kingdom. It's awesome. But let me tell you, there's one person who doesn't want you to live in those things, to live free from guilt, to live free from fear, to live free from sin and the bondage of sin, and how great it is where we have times where God, you know, there's kind of an X factor in overcoming sin. And it's not, I'm just going to try real hard. It's when the Holy Spirit just comes in and changes the life, changes your wants, and does a miraculous work. Satan doesn't want to see that happen to you. So he's fighting hard against you. He's throwing everything he has against your life so that you don't live in the goodness of God's grace. And he does, or wages war, not only against individual believers, but churches as well as the church. God giving wonderful gifts to his church, listed for us in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 27 through 25, excuse me, through 27. Scripture says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant or glorious church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." What is the will of God for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? What has he given us that the enemy wants to take away? Number one, a pure heart. And when I think of a pure heart, I think of the purity of the gospel message. You know, there is that aspect of right and wrong, and yes, Jesus cleanses his church, but the true church isn't just a church that does good things. The true church is a church that is steadfast and true to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his message. And then God has also called his church to be holy. And another way that we could translate, or another way we could say holiness is to be separate. Separate from the world and its ideals, its mindset, its view, and separated unto God. You know, one time holiness meant, and I'm not trying to speak down about our predecessors. You know, I'm talking about, 100 years ago. One time holiness meant you dress a certain way and you lived a certain way, and you know, that was for their time. And I'm not saying that was, we can get into a debate if that was good or not. But holiness is how you view life. And it basically boils down to this. If a holy person, their life is no longer about themselves. Their life now is all about Jesus. And that is what God has called his church to be all about Jesus. Not about social issues, not about socializing, not about status, but about him and his kingdom. And then the other very important part of the kingdom of God that we are fighting to maintain is that of God's glory and might being demonstrated in his church. Verse 27, to present her to himself as a glorious or radiant church. There's one, if there's anything the enemy would like to do to the church, is to take the spirit out of her and make her worship empty, dead, and dry. May it never happen in Jesus' name. But whether that happens or not depends upon whether or not you and I put on the armor of God every day. As I mentioned earlier, we can't pick and choose our battles. The battle's coming to us whether we want to fight it or not. But whether or not we succeed as individuals living in the victory that Jesus Christ already purchased for us on Calvary, not only as individuals but as a church, is whether or not we make the decision to put the full armor of God on us each and every day. Let's take a few moments and let's talk about what this armor is. And you know, of course, Paul was drawing on the symbolism of the Roman soldier, and we'll talk a little bit about that, but we can also apply it to what we wear today. And the first thing that he mentions in this essential armor is the belt of truth. Listen, if we want to be prepared for the assault of the enemy, and let me just share with you what the assault of the enemy is. We know the schemes of the enemy, or we know the weapons of the enemy, lies, temptation, accusation, destruction, all those things, but really what they are schemes. In fact, Ephesians 6:11 puts it this way, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Another way that could be translated is traps. You know, the devil does bad stuff, but his goal isn't just to get you to believe a lie or to take things from your life or to say bad things about you. His goal is to trap you in his snare, whether it's deceit, and actually he is trying to not just tell you lies. His goal is to make you believe a lie. To believe a lie, and I think, Katrina, you put it very well this morning, believe a lie about yourself, believe lies about other people, to believe lies about God. Isn't that what happened in the Garden of Eden those many years ago? Satan said, you know, God didn't. God, did God really say that? You will not surely die. And she fell for it, hook, line, and sinker, and that's what the enemy's goal is for you today in 2017. To keep you under fear, to make you forget that God will supply every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You don't have to worry or fear in 2017 to know that you have been forgiven. You don't have to live under the shroud of guilt. All the things that God has given you, he wants to take from you and get you in a trap where it's very, very difficult to get out of. So in order to overcome him, we need to put on the armor, which means we need the belt of truth. And so if we're going to be successful this year, we need to tighten our belts. Now I'll ask this of the men. I won't ask this of the ladies. But how many of you have ever gone anywhere and you forgot your belt? Boy, do I hate when that happens. Cody has. This morning? Well, I tell you, there's some Sunday mornings, not many, but there's some Sunday mornings, and I've gotten here to church, and I've had to call home, Raylene, bring in my belt. One, I don't like the look of not having a belt, but number two, I don't want to be doing this all the time, and God forbid that I should bend over, and we'll just leave it right there. But what a belt does, it keeps your trousers, we don't hear that word too much, your trousers up so that you're not exposed. So it is with truth. Truth girds your most vulnerable areas of your heart, your spirit, from being exposed to the junk of the world. There's a lot to be, you know, one of the things that people are concerned about now, people are conforming to in this day and age in our society is one particular worldview, and this worldview has nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with self. It has nothing to do with God's word, and it's very, very seductive, for lack of a better term. In fact, even in your own minds, there may be times where you've struggled with the ideals of the world trying to force themselves upon you. It's more than just someone's philosophical idea. It's a spiritual, demonic attack against mankind. And it's something that the enemy is trying to do against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's powerful. And people embrace it. Hook, line, and sinker. And but for the grace of God, so would his church. But God has given us something to overcome the worldview of the world, of the enemy. And that is truth. Which means we need to put the belt of truth on every day. This coming two ways, John 17:17, a scripture I shared a couple weeks ago, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Listen, you want to insulate your mind against a mindset that is anti-Christ, anti-God, forgive me for using the expression, but from the pit of hell, stay in the truth of God's word every day, just like you put your belt on. And stay not only in the Word, but stay in the Spirit. John 16:13. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He'll guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears. And He will tell you what is yet to come. You know, the great thing about the Holy Spirit, one of the many great things about Him, is that He, in being the third person of the Trinity, when He dwells within us, speaks to us. And when you need advice, pure advice, good advice, incorruptible advice, He gives it to you. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock, the door will be open to you. The second article of the armor that we're to put on is the shoes of the gospel of peace. What God is saying is keep your boots on. We need to have, and when we think of that, you know, and why would anyone keep their boots on? There's one thing I would never want to sleep in, and that's my boots. I wouldn't even want to sleep in sneakers. In fact, to be honest with you, I wouldn't even want to sleep in slippers. I just like my feet. And there's no reason for me to have my sneakers on because I'm not worried about, not like I'm camping and I'm worried about a bear coming in and I need to run. I live in the relative safety of my home. But spiritually speaking, we need to be ready at a moment's notice, because the enemy wages war not like they did in colonial times. You remember from your history books, you know, the old, actually, until the Revolutionary War, when armies fought, they'd all kind of line up in front of each other and then just start shooting at each other. I don't want to criticize, you know, the military geniuses of the day, but boy, that's a dumb way to wage a war. Then the Americans, in seeing the Native Americans, got a good idea. Let's be shrewd about warfare. So it is with the enemy. In fact, not only in being watchful against the assaults of the enemy, but also in advancing the kingdom, we need to be ready at a moment's notice. 1 Peter 3:15 puts it this way: in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. This is, of course, talking about being ready to share and live out the gospel. But in as far as a defensive posture, which is what we're talking about this morning, we need to be ready to stand against temptation, to stand against fear, to stand against doubt, against all those things that the enemy is trying to ensnare us in once again. And we do that by being ready, by being prepared. Which, and all these things somewhat go together, being people who daily spend time in God's Word, who daily spend time in prayer, and who are watchful. I think Jesus put it so well, watch and pray so that you do not enter temptation. Thirdly, there's the breastplate of righteousness, how important it is to guard your heart. One of the most, you know, all of our organs are important, but the most important organ, because it supplies all the other organs with life, is the heart. It pumps blood, and for a soldier, it was necessary that he have a breastplate on. I guess if we were to use everyday contemporary terms, you know, Kevlar. You know, nowadays soldiers have their bulletproof vests on to protect them from gunfire and shrapnel and things of that nature. Because once your heart is wounded, it's over. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, God does something wonderful in giving you new life. And one of the things that comes with that new life is a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That is a wonderful, precious gift that we have been given from God. And if we're going to be effective against the enemy and defend what God has given us, we've got to guard our hearts, and we do it through righteousness. And this righteousness is not a righteousness that you might think of. It's a little different. Romans 3, 21 and 22 reads, "But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe." There was an old... What Paul is saying here, he's contrasting the two different types of righteousness. I was going to say righteousnesses. I don't know if that's even a word or not. That mankind can choose to live by. One is self-righteousness, where you really try to do good. You know, I'm going to change my way. I'm going to make myself good before God, and then I'll be okay with God. And that righteousness will always fail. That's why Jesus Christ had to come. Man is imperfect. But then there's a righteousness that comes through faith, which says, I believe that not only am I a sinner, I believe that Jesus died for my sin. And now I'm set free to live for Him. And so it's an understanding, and as I said, these things kind of flow together or kind of bleed into one another, but it's a righteousness that comes through faith that says, I am righteous not because of what I do. I am righteous because of who I believe in. And even though I mess up, and when I mess up, and that's what I loved about Katrina's presentation this morning, you know, we do mess up. God still loves me. And there's forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I continue to serve Him. It's not absolving, it's not saying we don't make, of course we make things right, but we approach it from a different perspective. God has forgiven me, and now I know that I can be forgiven. And I am free to live for Him. But there's another aspect of righteousness that I think it's very important, especially in this day and age of internet. And I'm not just talking about, you know, pornography, although that's one. But there's a lot of things that can pollute your mind. And not just lust. There's envy. There's anger, malice, greed. You know, all those things are out there. And people feed on that, and it's evil, and it's ugly, and it's wrong. Protect your heart. Don't expose your heart to the impurities or the pollution of the world. Put on that breastplate of righteousness. And then there's the shield of faith. We've been called to walk and live in faith. Hebrews 10:38 puts it this way, and my righteous one will live by faith, and I'll take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. You know, reflecting back on we first come to Jesus, or when we have that experience at, you know, at the altar, or in just our personal prayer time, or maybe in a Bible study or something, where we just really have a close encounter with God, and we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God's got everything taken care of. We're on that mountaintop of faith. We need to be careful, because one of the ways that the enemy will try to take back from us what God has given us is by seducing his church to worry. One of the things that believers struggle with, and every believer does, because it's not like after you get saved, all your troubles go away. They continue. You know? Sometimes even more so because you are a Christian. Troubles come. And there's that temptation put before us. It's a weakness in our human flesh, and also the enemy eggs it on for us to worry. And worry is the worst thing that a believer can do. Didn't you say something else was the worst thing? Yes, they're all bad. They're all equally bad. But it's the worst thing, because worry accomplishes nothing but undermines that essential agency you need to maintain a strong relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is faith. Jesus, in talking about how productive worry is, how many of you by worry could add 1 inch or 1 cubit to your stature? Can anyone, and if anyone can, I want you to stand up and tell me. This is, I'm laying down the gauntlet this morning. Anyone here ever change any situation, ever make life better, by any solve any problem, ever grow in faith by worrying? Please stand up and share with me that experience. I'll sit down and I'll listen to it. Worry accomplishes nothing but evil. But how many struggle with worry? You don't have to know all of our hands go up. Every day we need to hold on to the shield of faith. Friend, it's something that you pick up. It's not something that's just, it's not an invisible shield that's always there around you. It is something that you pick up and you wield. What do I mean by that? Think of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. When a word of doubt comes your way, and I'll use this example, when the enemy whispers in your heart, you're not going to make it, you're not going to have enough, your bills are going to overwhelm you, put up that shield of faith. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You're struggling with sin or some other issue, other weakness in your life, I can do all. When the enemy tries to come against you, I can do all things. Put up that shield of faith. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Bless God. Let me tell you, the word of God is different from tweets that people put on Twitter or Facebook or different things. Oh, isn't that nice? Isn't that powerful? The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. In fact, that's one of my scriptures I'll be sharing later. Put up that shield. The power is in your hand. Fifthly, the helmet of salvation. Keep your head on straight. Parents ever tell you that? I think of, I never worried about Stephen, because I know he was a good driver. But I know when kids drive, the thing you want them to do is pay attention. Keep your head on when you're driving. Don't, especially now in the day and age where, you know, hey, look at me, I'm driving, you know. I'm going to put it on Instagram or whatnot. But there, these death blows of doubt, fear, deceit, and sin are things against our minds. This is what the enemy is trying to seize control of. He's not just out there lying for no reason. He's not just out there destroying for no reason. He wants to captivate your mind. So keep your head on straight. Put on the helmet of salvation every day. Psalm 140, verse 7 tells us that when we do, God will shield us in the heat of battle. Sovereign Lord, my strong deliverer, you shield my head in the day of battle. Okay, well, very good. Well, how does one do that each and every day? And I, forgive me for not having the scripture on the PowerPoint presentation for you. Romans 12:2, be ye not transformed. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. Every day, Holy Spirit, renew my mind in the name of Jesus. And every blow that is attempting to crack through the helmet of salvation, deflect from me in Jesus' name. And then lastly, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. it's important that we sharpen our blade. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says, and I think every believer believes this, Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. What the enemy does as a sword, it drives off the enemy. That's what Jesus did when he was out in the wilderness. He quoted scripture to Satan, and Satan fled. Word of God is also like a scalpel. Reuben shared about his surgery and his ordeal and how God delivered him. And that sharp, it wasn't a butter knife, I'm sure, that God used on Reuben, or that the doctors used on Reuben, but a sharp scalpel. It's the Word of God that convicts and convinces others of not only who they are, sinners in need of grace, but God, as a God of love and mercy and grace, is willing to extend that to them. But the Word of God is only effective in our hands if it is sharp. If we have a dull blade, and I've got, now, I'll tell you one area I'm very delinquent in my household, and that's sharpening our knives. In fact, when it comes to carrots, it's war. Because I'm just not a good sharpener. So you can know that the Word of God is quick and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. But if you don't know the Word, your blade is dull. You don't know what you can say against the enemy or not say against the enemy. It's not a matter of you can just show him this book and he'll run away. You've got to quote it to him in Jesus' name. Regarding your heart, let me tell you, the deep changes that I have needed in my heart and that are still going on today come through the word, knowledge of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart in the precious name of Jesus. And you're not going to bring anyone to a place of decision in Christ without sharing the Word. You know, a motivational message won't do it. Maybe make them feel happy. A story won't do it. It's the Word of God. Jesus saves. It doesn't have to be a lot, but it's the Word of God that saves the sinner. And it is my calling as a pastor to feed the flock of God, and I do that by preaching the Word. That is my responsibility. But it's your calling as well, because we're all soldiers under the command of the Lord. And so it's important that we be people who know the Word of God, with whom the Word of God is sharp. I'd like to end with this, and Tony, if you're able to come this morning, and I see you got your hands full with just a beautiful baby, and thank God for another 2016. Reuben, why didn't you mention that for your 2016? No, we're just teasing. But how do we keep the enemy at bay? And I think Paul concludes the matter very well as far as exercising the power of this wonderful armor that Jesus Christ has provided for us. In Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Two things that Paul is saying here. Number one, we need to be people of much prayer. And I dare say, we, especially because we're so busy and we're so distracted, we don't spend much time in prayer, or much quality time in prayer. And may God deliver us. And I'm speaking for myself to everyone. May God deliver us from that. But not only are we to be people of much prayer, we're to be people of many different kinds of prayers. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. The reason why we need to spend time in much prayer is there's so many things to pray about and so many ways to pray. We need to pray for ourselves. And may I say, as Pentecostal believers, we need to pray in the Spirit as well as our understanding. He who prays in an unknown tongue, the Bible says, upbuilds himself or edifies himself. That's an important dynamic of our prayer life. Exercise that. And if you have not received the gift of the Holy Ghost, seek that in your life. Step out in faith as the Holy Spirit moves upon you. Pray not only for yourself, but pray for others. Cover your families. Cover your church brothers and sisters. Cover your neighbors, your co-workers in prayer. God can do in an instant what it would take man a lifetime to not even achieve. at least not adequately. Pray, pray, pray. Pray with thanksgiving. Keep alert. See what's going on. Pray. Pray for our nation. The soldier is someone who prays and prays in many different ways. As we prepare to conclude the message this morning and to pray, it's interesting. We are called to this compulsory war. Whether you feel you're at war or not, you know, it doesn't take two sides to declare war. It only takes one person, one side to do it. And you're at war with them. And the enemy has declared war on all of us who are here today. Everything you have, everything you want, everyone you love, the enemy is trying to claim as plunder. And the interesting thing about this compulsory war, it's fought by a volunteer army. No one's going to make you put on the armor of God. No one's going to make you fight. No one's going to make you pray. You've got to make the decision to do so. But it could be the difference between, you know, life and death, and definitely between a blessed Christian faith and a blessed Christian walk and a very frustrating or unsatisfying Christian walk, whether or not you put on the armor of God. Will the day of rest come? Yes. It's called eternity, but it's still a ways off yet. But in the meantime, we've got to fight the battle that we've been called to, so that we can enjoy and the bounty of the victory that has already been won. And so let's stand together. We're going to pray in a few moments. But Sister Toni, if you'd lead us in a song this morning as we prepare to join our hearts and ask God to encourage us once again to be a people who are faithful, to put on the armor of God every day, in order to keep the enemy at bay from our hearts, our minds, and our church in 2017. Sister, if you'd lead us today.